Swami Kriyananda said that this was one of Master's most oft-quoted stanzas from the Bhagavad Gita. And he said whenever he would quote it, that his whole expression and his tone of voice would just become so filled with gratitude and blessing. I forget exactly the word he used. But he loved this so much. He said it just is God's way of saying to us these words of Krishna, of course, that God is ever near. And he was always reminding the monks of that. There's another wonderful story of this master, Mahashaya, who's in this story in our reading today, in autobiography. He was very much a part of Master of Yogananda's life when Yogananda was young. And the very first time he ever literally gave Master an experience of samadhi, Master had this experience. And when he came back into the moment, into his body, he went with great gratitude to touch the feet of Master Mahashaya. And Master Mahashaya would have none of it. I mean, this great soul who could just materialize in a moment, as we hear in the reading, to help Master remember that God is in everything and everyone. And he said to him, after this experience of samadhi, you now know that God lives in you as much as in me, and I cannot have Divine Mother touch my feet through you. Just such sweetness in this man. And that story just came to me as we were listening. There's a very telling story of all of the lessons that are in this reading today that Swami Kriyananda relates in his book, The New Path. And it's about an Indian saint whose name is Namdev. And he was a very great Indian saint. He used to meditate much of the day, and Krishna would often appear to him in these meditations. And there was another saint also, or another man, Namdev said, who meditated quite a bit in the same temple. And this man was also a potter, but he was a very inspired man. And one day he said in the temple that he was going to test the true nature of all of the devotees in the church. And because potters often test their clay or their pot by tapping it to see if there's any weaknesses in it, he got up at that point and he went around and he started slapping each of the devotees. And the devotees were a little astounded by this, but they thought, well, he's a master. He must have a reason for doing what he's doing. So they just stayed centered and calm. But then he went over to Namdev, and he slapped Namdev, and Namdev was just appalled. And he stood up and he said, how dare you? I am this great saint, and here you are slapping me? And this other saint looked at him and said, oh, I think there's a crack in this pot. So Namdev called on God, and he said, how could you do this to me? I spend my whole life praying to you. You've come to me all this time. How could you let me be so humiliated? And God said, well, what could I do? There is a crack in the pot. And so Namdev said to him, well, what can I do? How can I fix it? And he said, you need to find a guru. And he said, but I have you. And Krishna said, no. He said, I come to you in these visualizations, and I've spent time with you, but you need, there's a guru that is your guru, and you must go and find him. And so Namdev said, well, tell me how to find him. So he tells him the town that he's in. He gives him directions. And he says, now don't be surprised. This is going to all look a little unusual to you. So Namdev goes to the town, and he starts asking around about this saint. And people give him directions, but they say, I don't know that you really want to be so close to this man. But Namdev said, no, this is what God told me to do. So he finally finds the temple that he's supposed to go to. And lying in the temple is a man who's disheveled, who looks dirty. He's laying on the floor. And Namdev sees that he has his feet resting on what's called a Shivalingam. And a Shivalingam is a very sacred object in India that really represents Shiva, that represents an aspect of the divine. So it's a very sacred object. And here was this man with his feet on it. And Namdev goes over to him and said, "What is the matter with you? How could you be doing this? Don't you understand? This is appalling that you're doing this to God himself." And this man says, "I'm sorry, sir, but you see, I've gotten so old and I'm so weak. Could you just then help me move my feet?" So he lifts his feet up and he goes to put them down. And just as he goes to put them down, a Shivalingam appears under them. And Namdev is not quite sure what's going on, but he picks them up again, and he goes to put them down somewhere else. And as he goes to put them down, another lingam appears. And then it dawns on him that this is, in fact, his guru. And he begs his forgiveness and, of course, bows at those very feet. Now, there's an obvious reason for this story, and that is exactly what's in this reading today, and that is that God is everywhere. There is nowhere that we can look, nowhere that we can put our feet, nothing that we can do in this world that we're not coming face to face with the divine. But also in this story is, well, first of all, this is Namdev. This was a man who Krishna himself was appearing to. And so it really helps us see just how difficult delusion is, how tricky Maya is, what a hold it has on us, that even as highly evolved spiritually as he was, Krishna had to say to him, "But there is a crack in this pot." And it also speaks to a very important lesson, again, for all of us, and that is, how do we move beyond this? How do we redeem ourselves in a way? Because here was, again, this very highly evolved man. And it shows us that redemption, if you will, or really knowing ourselves to be truly one with God, does not come in rituals. It doesn't come in all of our behaviors. It comes, as Swami says, when we escape the bondage of egoism. The littlest bit of ego that was left in Namdev, and he cracked. And we have to go beyond all of the ties and the hold that our ego has on us, not an easy thing to do, and find our way to the infinite reality in God. The only truth and the only reality that really exists. We have to find our way into the light. And again, not always easy, because Maya, or delusion, is so good at what it does. It's here to fool us. It's here to draw us out of our true self. And it's good at it. Hence the story of Namdev. So what are the things that we can do? Because as we live our lives, it's subtle. It's very subtle. Every one of us in this room today is somebody who was at least called to be here. Every one of us are people who are walking down this spiritual path who we would say are somewhat highly evolved souls. How are we going to keep walking down that path beyond delusion and away from Maya so that it loses the hold that it has on us? The first thing is, We need to make a practice, an actual practice of changing our minds and of moving from our consciousness and from all of the limits that that imposes on us into God consciousness. And we can do that in many simple ways. In a few minutes, I want to talk about the movie Finding Happiness that we just showed twice here in Palo Alto this week. This is something that Swami Kriyananda, as he wrote that movie, shows so beautifully. There are so many ways to begin to practice moving towards God consciousness, not just by sitting and meditating, which challenges many people, not just by being absolutely still, but thinking about all of the ways that we can change our vibration, that we can alter our vibration by thinking about things as simple as the music we listen to, the movies that we choose to go and see, the food that we eat, and asking ourselves, where will this leave me? How will this leave me feeling if I step in and watch this movie? How much time am I spending on the internet, and what am I doing there, and how is that affecting my consciousness? Not just at the level of stress, because we probably all know that still to this day, the biggest reason that people go to see their doctor are for stress-related complaints. When we teach Meditation 1 and we ask people, why are you here? The biggest reason they tell us, I need to learn what to do with my stress. I'm too stressed. It makes me anxious. I'm not getting along with people. I'm not performing the way I do. And yet, you can see many people walking down the street, even playing those games that are so rajasic all the time, just plugging into the world in mindless ways. It's easy to think about meditating. It's not as easy to think about all of the other things that we do in our lives. What restaurants do we take ourselves into? And what would it mean for us to not be watching television right before we go to bed at night, or to not be watching so much news, or whatever those things are, or again, to make conscious choices of movies? When we were at the showing of Finding Happiness, our movie, they have all the billboards of the other movies, and I was talking to Gary McSweeney, and he had obviously seen a few of them. So he walked me around, and he said, this one a yogi can see, this one a yogi shouldn't see, this one a yogi can see. And I knew just exactly what he meant. You know, I no longer want to take myself into these movies that leave me feeling tense or that draw my energy down. So to become very conscious of moving toward God consciousness is one very important thing for us all to do and to make a part of our daily life. Really to practice seeing God in everyone and everything. To literally make it a practice that when you look in each other's eyes, when you see people, you know, there's this thing on the news, I'm just talking about the news, but I do watch the news sometimes, and there's a show I can't remember, it's either in the news or the radio, but it's called People Behaving Badly, and there's a news person who goes around and finds instances like people cutting off fire engines and they have their lights and sirens on, and then he'll do a whole program on it. But I was thinking about it when I was thinking about this, because we all find it so easy to see what other people are doing wrong or badly. It could be as simple as the way they dress. It can be their behavior. It's the way they speak. It's endless. We all know it's endless. I don't want to spend too much time talking about that aspect of it. I'd rather talk about what if when you looked at someone, you realized that that was just another manifestation of God in that body moving their way, trying to get back to their highest spiritual aspiration. If we hold that up all the time for everyone, you know, many of you know I was on a pilgrimage in Italy not that long ago, and I shared the story with a lot of people about being in a church in Florence that was thousands of years old. And the story itself is not important, except at the end of Mass, well, we went several times a day because the energy was so exquisite in that church. But the monks and the nuns would come over to us and they would take our hands, every one of us, and they would look right into our eyes, just get as close as they could get, and they would just love us for a moment. And sometimes three or four of them would come up to you as you were there, and just right here, and they were glowing. And it dawned on me just this morning when I was thinking about this reading that they were seeing nothing but the divine in me. Every time they came up to me, and we were there for several days, and this was a three-time-a-day thing, it was perfect. Wherever they were, when they looked at me, I realized just now, they saw God, and I just couldn't quit going back there. What if we all did that for each other? What if we could live in that way and serve each other in just that way? What a beautiful gift to be able to start spreading that takes no time to love everyone. Really, how much more could we live in terms of all of Christ's teachings to serve each other? The point in the reading this morning that was so poignant for me is that these people that Christ was talking to didn't even know that they were serving Christ. They weren't going out thinking, I'll serve God. They just served each other. And Christ said to them, whatever it is that you have done to any one of them, you have done to me. Because what are each of us but a perfect manifestation of the divine? So how beautiful that we find ways to serve each other, and that opens our heart. Swami Kriyananda says it expands the heart sympathy. Isn't that just a beautiful way of thinking about it? That's not the reason to serve, but it is a way of finding our way back to God just by serving others in whatever way we can. I mentioned before, and of course many of you were there, that this week we showed Swami Kriyananda's movie, Finding Happiness, twice at the Aquarius Theater. And oh, it was extraordinary for so many reasons. I won't have time to share them all, but just for instance, here we are living, doing everything we can do to live in terms of these teachings, to be living them ourselves and to be sharing them with everybody. But we are, after all, rather small. You know, we all come together every Sunday, or we teach it in classes, but, and even as we know it's going out onto the web right now, still, it's a relatively small group of people. Even in the movie, Swamiji alludes to that. The main character asks Swamiji, do you really think it's possible to have a profound impact, never mind change the world, from a spiritual perspective with such a small group? And for those of you who haven't seen the movie, you have to see it to hear Swamiji's answer in full. But basically, he says, yes, I do. He says, look back at all of the how many profound changes have happened in history that have almost always been led or started or championed by just a small group of people. But here we are, and then suddenly on this big screen in this movie theater that I've been going to since the 1970s, there is not just the story of Ananda, because the movie isn't saying really, you've got to come to Ananda. The movie's saying, finding happiness, here's how we did it. Here's how we did it. Here's how it works. But what Swamiji did that is so remarkable, and this did not really hit me until last night, is that he showed us in all of these ways that we're all living life. He spoke to teachers, he spoke to farmers, he spoke to musicians, he spoke to business people, he talked about how we relate to each other, he spoke to families, couples, communities, and in every instance, no matter who you are, no matter what it is you are thinking is your goal in life, Swamiji said, here's how to apply these principles. Here's what you can do. Let me show you a family who's living in terms of these principles. Let me show you businesses that are flourishing. Let me show you what it means when you eat good food, where the people are actually out there talking to the plants and blessing them. And he shows us in every conceivable way. That movie is a microcosm, as is everything Swamiji's done. Everything. Every book he's written, nearly every song he's written, if we listen carefully enough. But in this movie, it says, this is how you practice the presence of God. This is how you take everything from this reading today, living in the presence of God, practicing the presence of God, and let me just show you here and here and here how to make it work in your life. In the very end, and this really surprised me, Juliet, the character, says to Swamiji, does a community have to be based on God? Do they have to believe in God to make it work? And it surprised me. Swamiji said, I'm not sure. That's what he said. And he went on to talk about it a little bit. But he said, of course, since in the end everything is God, it would certainly help. But there was room for everyone in this movie to find a way, even if they didn't want to call it practicing the presence of God, even if you don't think that everything you're doing is serving God, it is not the act that we do, but the consciousness that we do it with that changes our life and that changes the lives of those we touch. That's why I could come back touched to this moment. You know how often you come back from a trip, somebody asks you next week, how was the trip? And you have to stop and think, where was I? What did I do? This is now months later, and I can feel those hands on me. And I can see those eyes looking at me, looking at the true me, whether I was living in that presence in that very moment or not. We are so blessed to be on this path in this moment of life, the teachings of the Avatar channeled right through Swamiji. No matter how old you are, there is not enough time left in life to do anything other but get right to it, right now, to start practicing as much as we can, in every way we can, to take our next step, whether it's reading, studying, serving, loving, talking to your plants, seeing God in as many places as you can. Really. It's not just that time is short. Time is short. But there's an urgency. It's our responsibility. Why are we here? When you see this movie, you see, I have got to start getting this out everywhere in the world. Really, I just went in there and bought 10 copies of the movie. People who don't even know what they're getting as a gift are going to be getting this movie from me. It's a perfect time. It is so profound. You know, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says there are many, many ways to, you know, he's saying to get to know God. He means to know our true self, to find God within us. And he says sitting and meditating until you reach God consciousness is one of those ways. There's stanzas, we read it sometime every year. But he says very difficult, and most will not be able to do that. But another way to do that, Swamiji says, is by seeing God in everyone and everything. He calls it the more social way to find God. And it's easier. It's easier, and it's on the path. It's exactly, will get us to that same place of living in Christ consciousness as sitting and meditating every day, all day, which most of us already know would be probably too challenging. But seeing God in everyone is a direct path to the divine and absolutely doable for every one of us, for every soul on earth. All we need to do is remember, we need to go beyond the rituals, all of the rituals that we're taught. We need to find that way to get us to the realization of these truths. And if we know we can do that by loving everyone and everything, one person, one event, one thought, one animal, one plant at a time, why not? Such a beautiful gift that Swamiji has given us to show us this beautiful path that we can all step on right now. God bless you.